back to episode 15 of the Beaverdam and Grant. Garrett, it's Valentine's Day. I'm Patrick Spellman, joined alongside Grant Ingham and Garrett Heitkamp. And it's a beautiful, cold Sunday. It's Valentine's Day, but you know what my favorite day is? February 15th, half-price candy day. How you guys doing over there?
I'm good. Just, you know, trying to stay warm and stay healthy and all that. You know, good stuff here in the middle of winter.
Yeah, COVID season is always fun and everything. And Garrett, you're the only one with a girlfriend here. Did you guys have a good Valentine's Day?
Yeah, we did. You know, went out to eat, had a nice little supper, and yeah, it was great to see her.
Good, good. Yeah, Grant and I are over here single, ladies. No, I'm just kidding. But we're here for Bluffton Sports, not Valentine's Day. Let's go. We promised you guys we would have a write-up here for the track team. They've competed last weekend. We didn't have any write-up on it just yet, but guess what? Now we do, so we'll preview that. Then we're going to talk about men's basketball as they took on Anderson at Anderson on Friday and back home in the Sommer Center on Saturday. Women were switched. They hosted Anderson there on Saturday and then on Friday and then went to Anderson Saturday. And then we'll finish it up with some volleyball who had a great week. So let's go ahead and start first with the track team. The Bluffton University track and field team went to Tiffin to give it their all against some more Division II competition on Friday and Saturday, February 5th and 6th.
The throwers shined at the Tiffin Dragon event. It's the men's weight throw. Michael Lindhorst moved his mark another meter to distance 13.25. Kaylee Janko, program director and head coach, said, "The throwers really showed this meet. I'm excited to say we were 5 new PRs on the day, moving several of our throwers up in the conference standings."
Sophomore Emma Payne moved her mark in the conference placement with a new PR of 13.51.
Yakna was pleased with the overall effort and performance of the team, saying, "This weekend we really came together to compete. Friday and Saturday showed many individual standouts, lifetime best, and with 2 school records broken."
Daryl Briggs, the assistant coach and track and field coach who works with the sprints group, was very pleased with his athletes. He said, as a men's sprints, jumps, and hurdles team, we had a full day of PRs. The men's team is looking ready for the conference in 2 weeks. Freshman Desmond Geist led the squad with PRs in 5 events, including breaking the school record in the 60-meter hurdles with a time of 8.61. Desmond is having a great start to his freshman year and is only going to get better. Geist's PR placed him in 3rd in long jump with a leap of 6.32 meters.
The women's sprint team also had a great showing at Tiffin. The women's team was led by our captains, Madeline Schieffer, who had PRs in both of her events, the 60-meter dash and 200-meter dash, said Coach Briggs. He continued to say, on Friday, freshman Amanda Church became the new school record holder for the indoor pentathlon.
Yeah, it's a hard word. We'll cut you some slack. But we now have 2 weeks until the HCAC competition, and we cannot be more excited and ready for what we have showed this weekend. We are just getting started, said head coach Kaylee Yakno. Bluffton will make the long trip down to Terre Haute, Indiana on Saturday, February 20th, and Sunday, February 21st, for the HCAC Indoor Championships. The women's are slated to start at 1 p.m. on Saturday, while the men will start at 1 p.m. on Sunday. And, Grant, we don't talk a lot about track and field, but this is a team where Coach Yakno has really had to rebuild this program from the ground up, and this is a very young team. And they went to a Division II school and faced off against all Division II schools. And though they struggled to maybe compete against those schools, I mean, all those athletes are on at least somewhat of an athletic scholarship. We had 2 school records broken as well as a lot of PRs. And if you're Coach Yakno, you have to be excited about that, considering you're going to be heading into a conference meet with some of your runners running in their best form.
Yeah, it's always tough to compete against, you know, scholarship Division II athletes, and it was never going to be a successful meet necessarily, but it's all about getting that experience against that high-level competition, and it just prepares you to get better when you're facing, you know, athletes in the conference.
I'm excited about this track team. I really think they can do a lot of damage here, and you have, I know you guys don't know a lot about track and field. I've I've covered it here for a couple more years here at Bluffton. But Manchester is very good at track and field, and as well as normally Hanover, Rose Holman are both very good as well. So those are going to be the teams, but if you can just go in there and try and compete, steal some points from them, I think it could be huge, and it can give this very young team some confidence, and it can be very scary how good this team can be here within a couple years if they continue to improve as well as continue to bring in more runners. You're already seeing two freshmen break school records. I mean, can you imagine what those times are going to look like when they're seniors? I think this track team has a very bright and exciting future. But we're going to go ahead and move on here to men's basketball. The Bluffton University men's basketball team lost a heartbreaker on Friday, February 12th, at the hand of the Anderson University Ravens. Beavers fought hard throughout the game to send it to overtime, but the Ravens held on to defeat the Beavers 85-76. Bluffton falls to 10-2 on the season, and Anderson moves to 6-3.
In the first half, the game went back and forth. Sophomore big man A.J. Kenny played a giant role with senior captain Aaron Rich out of the lineup. Kenny tossed in 10 huge points in the first with two rebounds. Junior guard Jameel Cosby scored 5 and had 2 takeaways.
Sophomore guards Mike Kentner and Ethan Stearns came off the bench and made huge contributions in the first half. Kentner had 6 points while Stearns added 4 of his own as the two teams went into the break deadlocked at 37.
Kenny kept it rolling in the second half, scoring 15 big ones for the Beavers and grabbing another 4 rebounds. Stearns added 3 more to go along with the steal. Senior guard Desmond Brown drilled a 3 of his own. Cosby had 4 in half number 2, but no points were bigger than the layup he hit with 2 seconds left in the game, tying the score 68 apiece and sending it to overtime. The extra 5 minutes did not go to Bluffton's favor as Anderson outscored the visitors 17-8 for an 85-76 Raven victory.
The double-digit scorers for the Beavers were Kenny with 30 and Brown with 10. Kenny's 30 points tripled his previous career high, that was 10. He also ripped down a career high, tying 7 boards while blistering the nets with a ridiculous 14 of 18 shooting performance. Cosby tallied 9 points and picked up 3 steals. Stearns also chipped in with 7 points, 3 steals, and 2 dimes. Senior Ronnie James was the high assist man with 3 helpers.
Anderson pulled down 1 more rebound than the Beavers, but the Ravens also coughed it up 1 more time with a turnover-mared affair. Bluffton led the Ravens in second-chance points, while the home team outscored the Beavers 30-18 off turnovers.
Beavers were back in action in the Sommer Center on Saturday night. First-time fans were in the stands, but they did fall to Anderson University for the second time in 27 hours. While it was tied with 2:33 to play, the Ravens finished on a 6-2 spurt for the 75-71 victory. Beavers fell to 10-3 following their third straight setback, while the Ravens improved to 7-3 on the season.
Ryan James had a nice senior night showing, scoring 6 for the Beavers in the first half on 3-of-5 shooting, and he also handed out 3 assists. Backcourt mate Jameel Cosby helped along the way, scoring 7 points for the home team. Big man A.J. Kenny came off the bench and had 8 of his own in the first half thanks to his deft touch around the rim. Heading into the half, the game was tied up at 31 after Anderson went on a 15-8 run over the final 6 minutes of the first half.
James kept right on pace in half number 2, netting another 7 points and making a huge defensive impact for the Beavers. Cosby scored 11 in the half, shooting 4 for 7 from the field and knocking down a triple. Freshman guard Damian Davis played a huge role, providing a spark for the Beavers off the bench, scoring 7 points and pushing the tempo.
Ethan Stearns also added nice minutes off the bench, hitting a big 3-ball late in the game. While the Beavers stayed right with the Ravens, they could not get over the hump in the final seconds. The Beavers lost their third straight with a score of 75-71.
The double-digit scores for the Beavers on Saturday were Cosby with 18, Kenny with 14, James with 13, and Davis with 11. James was the high assist man with a career-high 8 dimes, and leading rebounder was Jameel Cosby with 7 rebounds. Brown came up with a career-high 5 steals.
Ronnie Williams had a huge game with 28 points on 10-for-17 from shooting from the field and 4-for-8 from deep for the Ravens.
Bluffton led in paint, scoring 36-28 as the Beavers hit 28-of-54, 51.9% from the field. Anderson was a red-hot 9-of-20, 45% from distance, and the Ravens pulled down 1 more board, 28-27, than the home team. The Beavers will try to get back on track next Friday night at home against Transylvania University. Tip-off with the Pioneers is slated for 6 p.m. in the Sommer Center. Overall, not a great weekend there for the men's basketball team, but if you look at that, that Anderson team was by far the best team that the Beavers have played, and the Beavers were missing a very crucial piece in Aaron Rich. And I think if you try to take the positives of this weekend is the fact that they took Anderson to overtime, unfortunately lost in overtime there in a very hostile environment in Anderson, and then turn around and lose by just 4 and had a chance to tie it up to send it to overtime again. But Jameel Cosby just missed the layup this time, and unlike what he did on Friday night when he was able to convert. But you had A.J. Kinney step up, and you saw Ethan Stern step up, and Damian Davis step up. And I think this team showed that they have a little more depth than maybe we thought that they did, especially in the front court. And so A.J. Kinney stepping up the way he did, it was extremely impressive. And for this Beavers team, you have to feel like if you have Aaron Rich there in the lineup, then you're going to come out with a win at least on one of the 2 days.
Yeah, positives of that is the front court depth that you found, and the depth that you found in Damian Davis in the backcourt. A.J. Kinney stepped up big with, you know, career nights, both nights. Just frustrating weekend in general, and it's the wrong time to be slumping for this men's team. 3 losses in a row going into playing the best team in the conference is not where you want to be, and playing probably some of your worst basketball that we've seen this team play down the stretch, and it's not the right time, but they got to figure out a way to get, you know, healthy this week and you know, work on adjustments to be competitive against this really good Transylvania team this weekend.
And Garrett, and Grant, you hit on it, and I want to go to you, Garrett. Beavers have lost their last 3. They were undefeated going into last Saturday when they lost at Mount St. Joe to a team that was winless before that Beaver game, where Beavers struggled to score. But then you look here and the Beavers shot 45% and 50% on the weekend and still have 2 losses. What do you think the Beavers need to do to kind of get back to their winning basketball that we've seen them play before these last 3 games?
I think the Beavers just need to get back to their foundations, you know, solid defense. Solid defense, if you play solid defense, it puts you in a very good chance to win the game. But allowing a team to score 70 points or so might not be the winning recipe for the Beavers.
I would agree with that. Definitely was not the usual defense that you would expect to see. But I think they did face probably the best guard behind. I think Jameel Cosby and Ronnie Williams, probably 2 of the best guards in the conference. And so it was a fun matchup seeing those guys go back and forth. But unfortunately, I think Ronnie Williams got the better of the 2 this weekend, unfortunately. And I just have to say he was very explosive. And I think if you're this Beavers team, if I were this Beavers team, I'd want to see him again in the conference tournament. You know that you were missing one of your top 3 players, and you still almost won both of those games. You put it at a neutral site or even at Bluffton. I mean, right now Bluffton has unfortunately lost 3 conference games, and so it's looking less likely they might be able to host the tournament. But it is random draw for the conference tournament on who you could play at any location for the first and second round. And so if you're this Beavers team, for me, I'm pissed off that we just lost this game, and I want a chance to play this Anderson team again.
Absolutely, and it's what happened to the Beavers last year, where they swept the Ravens in the regular season, and then the Ravens got their revenge in the conference tournament, and I'm hoping that we can see them again, you know, like you said, in the conference tournament, and get that revenge factor on them. I think the adjustments they made from Friday to Saturday were good, just didn't have enough to get over that hump. But I feel like in a 3rd game in a neutral site, we have a really good chance.
I would agree with that. It's very hard to beat a team 3 times. That's all I have to say. But we are going to go ahead and move on to the women's team, as they hosted Anderson University on Friday for the first time that had fans in the stands. Fans in the stands. The women team came out victorious thanks to a stellar performance in the 3rd quarter from a plethora of Beavers. As the final buzzer sounded, Bluffton prevailed by a score of 58-45. The Beavers improved to 13-3 on the season, heading in to the final stretch of this weird basketball season.
Bluffton jumped out to an early lead thanks to Brianna Gillig, who scored the first 9 points that came from two hoop and harms that were followed by a conventional triple try. The scoring slowed throughout the rest of the period before a trifecta from freshman Sydney Cavanaugh at the 120 mark. At the end of the first stanza, Bluffton held the lead 14-9.
It took the Beavers 4 minutes to score in the second stanza. A Taylor Mallison layup finally broke the ice. A steal by Mallison on the next possession and a missed layup led to an offensive rebound and a putback by Gilly. Cavanaugh dialed up another three-pointer with just over a minute to go that was assisted by Mallison. Heading into the half, the Beavers led 27-19 thanks to a strict, sticky defense that held the visitors to 34% shooting in the opening 20 minutes.
The third stanza may have been the best quarter of basketball the Beavers have played all season. Bluffton went on an unbelievable 18-0 run to end the period and effectively ended any Raven hope for a victory. It started off with a Fitzpatrick three-pointer from Sammy Shardo. On the preceding possession, Fitzpatrick dribbled down and fired off another three.
A couple moments later, senior Nora Heminger stole the ball and went coast-to-coast for an old-fashioned three-point play. After a mad scramble, Shardo dialed up long distance thanks to a dish from senior Abby Parkins. Just 30 seconds later, at the 3:30 mark, Heminger joined the trifecta party with her corner three from Shardo. And in their final possession of the corner with just 20 seconds remaining, senior Kylie Brock dialed in a 30-footer from deep. As the buzzer was ready to sound, junior Emma Saltzman capped off the dominating quarter with a block, making it 48-25 heading into the fourth.
Anderson was able to go on a mini run, but Bluffton weathered the storm in the final frame. With a quick 4 points from Gillig, the Beavers were back in a comfortably commanding lead. With just a minute remaining in the game, senior Claire Myrie made a nice move to the bucket that resulted into a sweet floater. Bluffton sat on it for the final 20 seconds as the Beavers snapped their two-game skid with a 58-45 win on Friday night.
Gillig led the Beavers in scoring with 17 on a night in which she was presented a ball for scoring her 1,000th career point at MSJ a week ago. Brock went for 9, while Fitzpatrick chipped in with 8 counters. 9 different Beavers cracked the scoring column in the victory. Bluffton also won the rebounding battle 42-36 with Gillig and Saltzman pulling down 7 apiece.
Hannah Hawkins holding 13 rebounds for her Raven squad in the loss. Bluffton won thanks to its offensive firepower and stellar defense on the perimeter. The Beavers held Anderson to just 1 of 13 from behind the arc for a 7.7% compared to a 30.8%, 8 of 26 for the Beavers. Both teams turned it over 13 times.
Beavers then headed back down to Anderson on Saturday, looking to complete the weekend sweep of the Ravens after Friday's convincing victory. The Beavers fought hard, but they ended up falling to the Ravens by a score of 57-50. After the stellar performance in last night's games, the roles were switched on day two.
The Beavers struggled early as they dug a 9-point hole in the early going. Bluffton's first basket did not come until halfway through the first period thanks to a 3-pointer by senior Nora Heminger. Emma Saltzman connected on a set of free throws while freshman Taylor Mallison cashed in on a freebie as well. However, those were the only points the Beavers would garner in the first period. At the end of the first, the Ravens led 16-6.
The second quarter was a completely different story for the Beavers. Brianna Gillig got things going with a layup just a minute in. At the 6:30 mark, Mallison dialed from beyond the arc to make the score 18-15. Just 2 minutes later, freshman Sydney Cavanaugh would make a free throw, then add a triple to give Bluffton a 22-18 advantage. A couple more free throws had the game knotted at 25 apiece heading into halftime.
The score stood 35-27 in favor of the Ravens when senior Abby Parkins connected on a jump shot. The Beavers went on a mini spurt late in the third when Gillig, Parkins, and Shardo all scored 2-point field goals. Heading into the final stanza, the Beavers trailed by just 3, 43-40.
Gillig hit from distance to give the Beavers a 2-point lead with 9 minutes to play. Shardo's trifecta midway through the final period made it 51-50 in the favor of the Ravens, but that would be the closest the Beavers could get. When the final bell tolled, the Beavers were on the wrong end of a 57-50 decision.
The lone double-figure scorer was Gillig, who finished with 10 points. Shardo followed up with 9, and Mallison poured in 8. Gillig capped off her double-double performance with 10 rebounds, while Saltzman grabbed 8 boards.
The Beavers struggled from the field, connecting on just 15 of 55, 27.3%. Anderson hit 20 of 56 for 35.7%. Bluffton went 15 of 22, 68.2% from the stripe, while Anderson was an efficient 11 for 13, 84.6%. The Bluffton women will be back in action on Thursday, February 18th, hosting Transylvania. Tip-off is slated for 6 p.m. in the Sommer Center before the regular season comes to an end on Saturday in Lexington, Kentucky. Grant, we saw probably the best quarter of basketball we have ever seen out of this Bluffton team this season on Friday night here in the Sommer Center in that third quarter. What did you like out of the Beavers, and how do they find a way to continue to have those type of quarters, because it seems like it's a quarter-to-quarter basis with this team?
Yeah, they played in very good defense that leads to offense. I mean, when they bring energy on the defensive end, you can see how much it elevates their performance on the offensive end, and the energy in the building helped as well. The Sommer Center was going pretty crazy during that 18-0 run, and the most impressive thing about that 18-0 run was without Brianna Gillick. She wasn't on the floor for most of it. And we talk about balanced scoring with this team, and the fact that she was off the floor when they were on that 18-0 run is very impressive. And given the opponent that they're playing, a really good Anderson Ravens team, it's overall a pretty successful weekend, I think, splitting with them. And, I mean, it's hard to expect them to go to Anderson, which is a hard place to play, you know, without fans, let alone with fans this weekend. And it was a tough one. But winning the home game was the most important thing, and we got that win. It was a good performance.
Agreed. I mean, this basketball team, it just is so, like I said, inconsistent up and down. It changes per quarter. But I think another thing you have to hit on is the fact that Nora Heminger is not full strength. She's not really playing very many minutes. And Garrett, what do you like out of Nora Heminger's game, and why? What are they missing without having her out on the court for the minutes that they're used to having her play?
They're missing, a solid defensive presence, as she usually guards the best player for the opposing team. But not having her there hurts, even though there are people that are capable to step up. It hurts not having her there, as that is a familiar face and a reliable body that the Beavers have on the court.
I would agree with that. Beavers have to hope that she can get healthy before that conference tournament. They have a very tough weekend for both the men and the women facing off against Transylvania. Women already lost down in Lexington earlier in the year for a non-conference matchup against the Pioneers. But we're going to go ahead and move on to the volleyball team. The Bluffton University volleyball team again pulled a rabbit out of its hat on Wednesday, February 10th. Trailing 2-1 and down 24-22 in the fourth set, the Beavers rallied for a 27-25 victory and then plastered Manchester 15-4 in the clincher. Bluffton used that momentum to sweep the visiting Spartans 25-20, 25-16, and 25-13 in the nightcap, as the Beavers improved to 11-6 overall and 3-3 in the Heartland Conference.
Senior Ramey Bauer was on the up to the task in the HCAC showdown, ramming home 16 kills against just 3 errors, and she also helped the cause with 4 aces, 6 digs, and a block. Sophomore Kaylee Campbell was efficient, needing just 20 swings for her 9 putaways. She had a 400. She hit 400 hitting percentage and was in on a career-high 8 blocks. Noelle Ufferman finished with 5 blocks and 7 kills to go along with her 11 assists.
Sophomore Ellie Price handed out 22 assists for the victors. Doing the dirty work was junior libero Brooke Kleeman, who picked up 16 digs and fired 3 aces. Courtney Weekly and Chelsea Taylor just missed double digits with 9 digs apiece. Freshman Alicia Like also put up 5 kills and 4 blocks in match 1.
The first set of the nightcap went back and forth before the Beavers opened a 21-17 margin on the strength of Becky Seamer at the service line. She fired an ace as the Beavers scored 3 straight points en route to the 25-20 victory.
Putting up 13 kills in the second match and more than doubling her previous career high was junior Cassie Maldek. Like, was back in the action with 7 kills and 3 blocks. Price showed her versatility with 8 kills, 10 assists, 7 digs, and 2 aces.
Seamer, Kelly Armanchout, and Elena Holzapple all finished with 3 kills. Caitlin Renner changed the color of her jersey for the nightcap and picked up a team-best 15 digs, while Logan Tabler and Lindsay Shaw, who handed out 21 assists and added 8 digs apiece, Armantrout stuffed the Spartans with a career-high 5 blocks.
Bluffton was back in the Sommer Center on Saturday when they played host to Franklin College on February 13th. Franklin Beavers went on to win a 5-set senior day victory before Franklin rebounded for a 4-set victory in the non-conference match. But it wasn't much consolation for the Grizzlies, who fell to 7-4 on the season and 4-2 in the conference. Beavers are now 4-3 in the conference.
Franklin led 2-1 and bolted out to a 10-1 lead in the fourth. The visitors held a commanding 17-10 lead before sophomore Ellie Price took her turn at the service line. Two timeouts and 11 serves later, Bluffton led 21-17 and was on its way to set number five. The Grizzlies again appeared ready to cash in with a victory, leading 12-7 in the clincher, but this time it was Courtney Weekly who served Franklin off the court. She fired two aces during her seven-serve trip to the plate, sending the home team to an unfathomable 15-13 win that helped the Beavers move to 4-3 in the HCAC.
Senior Ramey Bauer and freshman Alicia Light both pounded 12 kills, while Cassidy Posey and Cassie Mladek were nipping at their heels with 11 and 9 winners, respectively. Sophomore Kaylee Campbell led the home team with 3 blocks.
Piling up a team best 23 digs was junior libero Brooke Kleeman. Bauer Weekly and Noelle Ufferman were also in double figures with 18, 14, and 10, respectively. Kleeman and senior defensive specialist Chelsea Taylor both fired 3 aces in the HCAC victory. Ufferman doled out 30 assists, and Price added 13 helpers for the Beavers.
Franklin and Bluffton split the first two sets of the match before the visitors finished off the nightcap with a 27-25 and 25-20 victories in sets 3 and 4.
Everybody got in action, but it was Mladek leading the way with career-best 10 kills. Jessica Lavelle added 8 kills, while Price and Campbell chipped in with 7 winners apiece. Price dished out 20 assists, and Lindsay Shaw doled out 12 helpers. Elena Holsapple smacked 2 kills, while Becky Simer rifled 2 aces.
Lavelle picked up a team-high 10 digs. Kleeman Bauer and Caitlin Renner all picked up 9 digs in the non-conference matchup. Campbell was again in on 3 blocks. Bluffton will then make the one-hour trip northwest on Tuesday, February 16th, when the Beavers travel to rival Defiance College. The double feature is slated for 6 p.m. in the Wiener Center. For the Beavers, for this volleyball team, we've kind of talked about it. It seems like they can only win here in the Sommer Center. Their 4 conference wins are here at home. Their 3 conference losses are all away. And so what do the Beavers need to do to come out with a victory there in Defiance?
I don't know, but they got to find a way to win away from home, because it's going to be a pretty low chance that they get, you know, to host a game at Sommer Center in the playoffs. And you know, this Beavers team, they find a way to win at home, but, you know, got to have the right mentality coming off the bus and against Defiance, who it's going to be a tight game. Defiance is, you know, 3-4 in the conference, and Bluffton being 4-3, they're going to be favored, but they got to go handle business and find a way to get that win.
I would agree with that. Overall, for the Beavers team, it's just taking care of business. I think it adds a whole nother element, considering the fact that it's our rivals and it's Defiance College, and it doesn't matter where you're playing, you want to beat your rivals. And the Beavers have been pretty successful at beating Defiance in the past over the last 4 years for these seniors who have been here. And I think for them, it's just putting that in the back of our heads and going ahead and finding a way to come out with a win and sweep the Yellow Jackets this upcoming week. But we have an exciting week of basketball and volleyball up ahead. Grant, I'm excited for next week. Hopefully we're talking about a bunch of victories. Hopefully the men's team can stop this 3-game losing streak in the Sommer Center on Friday. We have the women's basketball team in the Sommer Center on Thursday. So we have an exciting week, and I'm excited. Garrett, you're going to be on the mic with me on Thursday. How excited are you to be calling your first basketball game here with me in the Sommer Center?
I'm beyond excited. That'd be an understatement to say. I'm ready to be in there. You guys sounded like you had fun with the crowd in there last week, and I can't wait.
Can't wait either. Don't worry, you'll still get to hear Grant's voice as well. He'll be here in the studio. He's going to have a great post-game and halftime analysis. I might just let Grant run the whole halftime analysis, and we'll see how he does. You know, I'm pretty excited. He is very knowledgeable with the game of basketball, so I'm excited to see what you have in store, Grant. I'm sure you're just ecstatic. We'll have you back out in the Sommer Center on Saturday, though, for sure. But we're going to go ahead and that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next Sunday. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Patrick Spillman, joined alongside with Grant Ingham and Garrett Heitkamp. We thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.